Better, smarter, faster. The future of connected healthcare relies on a powerful digital ecosystem and robust neural network to drive better diagnostics, intelligent operations, and seamless care anywhere. Join us as we talk to the experts about transformational roadmaps for this evolving landscape. What's working, what's needed, and how we get there together. Welcome to Healthcare on Air, presented by Verizon.
Everyone, and welcome back to Healthcare on Air by Verizon. I'm your host, Robin Goldsmith, Global Lead for Health Innovation and Strategy here at Verizon Business. So once again, we're here at Vive 2024 in Los Angeles, California, really a gathering of innovators, leaders across the health ecosystem. Really excited to be here, having great conversation with some of our partners. So it is my privilege to welcome Nemanja Kovacev from H-Tech. My friend, welcome to the show. Thank you again for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So why don't we start with about you, a little bit about you, and a little bit about H-Tech, and we can dive into the conversation from there.
So I'm the head of healthcare and life sciences practice at the H-Tech Group company. Besides that, I'm a practicing orthopedic and trauma surgeon. I've been dealing with programming for years and working as a programmer and orthopedic surgeon for a period of time, and that kind of naturally led me into digital health. So here I am, you know, almost 15 years in this area. So I currently work for the H-Tech Group. H-Tech Group, we are a digital product development company based in San Mateo, California. I'm not going to brag how cool we are and how meaningful projects that we have, but we are cool and we do have a lot of meaningful projects. But I want to stress that we are one of the rare companies that have subject matter expertise offices. So for each vertical that we work in, for example, healthcare, automotive, and others, we have a subject matter excellence office. These offices are composed of subject matter experts, people with dual degrees, with knowledge in the field itself. Yep. So, for example, in office that I lead, I have a colleague who is dual degree, has a degree in medical school and degree in electrical and engineering. So we also have people who are in compliance and product. So this enables us to really own the product, not to be like a staffing augmentation company, but to own the product, to have the real industry insights. And by that, we are able to help our clients navigate the highly regulated industries and help them achieve exceptional results.
Excellent. Yeah, we were talking earlier. I mean, you're still a practicing trauma surgeon, and I think what you said was it keeps you grounded in reality, because at shows like this, there's so many booths and there's so much cool stuff and there's a lot of smoke and mirrors. Yeah. Sorry, but there, you know, I think what you said about being grounded in reality and having the perspective of being a practicing surgeon is critical for when you're delivering products that can actually be delivered and utilized in healthcare. So, you know, the topic of this show is really kind of the future of the surgical room. Obviously, you spend a lot of time there. You know, I've not spent any time there, you know, nearly as much as you have. But we talk a lot about the connected patient room and what, you know, devices and connectivity and use cases. So now we're pivoting to your kind of today, the future of surgery, the future of the OR and what you're seeing there. Because a lot of things are talked about and not really realistic today. So I'd love to hear your perspective of kind of, you know, current state and what you're excited about moving forward in that environment.
Yeah, sure. I mean, there's a lot of hype in this field, to be honest. Yeah. I mean, most of stuff and proposed solutions just don't work in real life. As we discussed earlier, you know, we're trying to solve some, you know, high-level problems, and on the ground or in the trenches, you have like, you know, prosaic things like you don't have an assistant, or you don't have a surgeon available, or you don't have an appropriate size of the implant at that moment and stuff like that. So although we currently have better and better instruments and devices such as AI-powered NMRs that, you know, progressed greatly over these couple of years. When they started, it was like really, you know, people were laughing, doctors were laughing. And nowadays, doctors almost are able to, like, you know, sit back and let AI do the initial assessment of the NMR. But what lacks actually is this connectivity in a way of integrating all those devices, because you have these devices that work by themselves, but this data is siloed inside the device, inside the OR, inside the hospital. So there are different levels, but the problem is actually the same. So the future of the OR would be establishing an ambient intelligence that would cover this one OR, something like, as I mentioned, like an onboard computer at the spaceship Enterprise.
Yeah, it's like it's just Jarvis and Iron Man.
Or Jarvis, yeah. So basically, an AI agent with ambient intelligence that would gather all this data and be able to have some kind of awareness of what's going on in the OR, which is integrated in the hospital. On the other side, you would have doctors who would be, for example, surgeons who would be equipped with an XR system that would provide them real-time data. So this would all be integrated, and these processes that we now have that are not so optimized, this kind of setup would help optimize them. So it's not a silver bullet, of course. Nothing is, but these digital tools contribute to optimizing and streamlining these processes. So this OR would be integrated into a hospital, fully integrated, and be able to exchange data with another OR or with another hospital. So for that, we would require at least 5G coverage, so low latency and high bandwidth. But that is a way forward. So each of individual products is advancing, and that's okay. And it will hit a ceiling. So integration of all that data that would be gathered from different sources, summarized, filtered, and processed, and then delivered to different stakeholders at the appropriate time.
Got it.
So,
yeah, question. I mean, integration. I know it's really hard to do that, and I just want to take a step back of, how do we get to where we are now of not being integrated? And I'm sure you've got doctors having what they want in the OR, and you've got administrators saying we're going to buy this machine, and then the data sets are not integrated. So, you know, is that the case? If that's why are we where we are now, and how do we get to a more integrated environment moving forward?
So, the basic problem with optimizing care now is that solutions are also isolated. So you're solving one problem here, one problem there, one problem there. But you need to take into account the whole context, and to, with your solution, all stakeholders need to be satisfied. If one stakeholder is not satisfied, it won't work. So if you have a good setup for an administrator and the surgeon is not, you know, satisfied with it, it will go very hard. Yeah. Same with, like, if you have a patient-centric setup and it's not viable for business, it won't work. Yeah. So, and yeah, I don't have to mention that if it's not patient-centric, that it won't work. Yeah. So the problem is that whatever you're solving, you need to take into account the whole picture. And that's very hard because healthcare is convoluted.
It is. Yeah,
I mean, people from the United States tell me, "Oh, we have a fragmented system." Well, take a look at the European health, you know, systems. Yeah. You know, each country has its own system, and several
very
systems.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's very hard to find a solution and scale it up in enough to be viable for business and to say, okay, so you can get a buy-in from large players. So.
I'm really interested because you're still a practicing trauma surgeon, which amazing. What are you seeing in the OR that you're really excited about? I mean, we talk a lot about, and I hear a lot about the buzzwords like computer vision, AI enabled, you know, XYZ, augmented reality for surgical applications, XR. What are you seeing? And I guess, are those all kind of siloed solutions currently? And how do you bring that together to make the surgeon's experience better and also the patient outcomes better?
So definitely one of the things that I see is XR. And if you are able to synthesize and aggregate the precise and the appropriate data to a surgeon, that that will increase the overall success of the process. So let me explain on the example. Yeah. For example, I'll take orthopedic surgery and trauma because it's my field. Yeah. So if you're able, and those kind of solutions already exist. So if you're able to gather data from an X-ray, from C-arm, and transpose it to an actual limb, and the doctor, when a doctor looks at the, for example, leg, he has an X-ray vision. So he sees the bone, he sees the exact position of fracture line. That tends to decrease the amount of time taken to perform the surgery. For example, sometimes we have problems with distal transfixation of the intramedullary nail. So you put the nail in. The proximal part is okay, then you have to transfix it with a screw. You need to do that by using the X-ray. So sometimes it's easy, but sometimes if you make a small mistake and like rotate it, you know, a degree or something like that, you will have trouble. But if you look at that constantly and see where it is and don't have to, you know, constantly check with the X-ray, that, you know, that can reduce surgery like by half an hour or something.
Wow.
Which is, you know, a lot.
Huge. Yeah.
And all of these things, you know, have to be connected by some kind of network with low latency and high bandwidth.
Absolutely. It's fascinating to hear that, and it just makes it real because I think people think that it's kind of so far in the future, but I think a lot of these are now being done right now. Fascinating. So when it comes to computer vision, so, you know, having that camera looking at, you know, always the use case of like counting the surgical instruments, making sure that everything that's on the tray is back on the tray when Robin leaves the surgery. So there's no gauze in my belly or whatever it is. Is that a reality today?
So that can be sort of help. Yeah. Although we do have a strict procedures of counting the instruments, counting the gauzes. So you need to, if, for example, a gauze falls to the ground, you need to tell the scrub nurse one gauze is on the ground.
Okay.
So, you know, these are very strict, but of course, mistakes sometimes happen.
Yep.
Fortunately, I didn't have that problem.
Of course,
but I know people that had.
yeah.
But I know people that, because in orthopedic surgery, we don't, it's abdominal surgery and that kind of surgery that is at more risk, you know.
Yeah.
With us, it's not, you know, like we just need to get to the bone and that's it, you know.
Yeah.
Like, Not dig any deeper. So, but these solutions exist. So it's not, you know, some far future.
Interesting. What else are you seeing from AI? Because you brought up AI, so I'm gonna, and it is it's been the buzz. But I think AI, it's a big term, and there's algorithms, Gen AI. It's a big term, and it's.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear kind of. What you're most excited about, kind of from your perspective as a, you know, practicing surgeon, but also a digital health leader, where are you seeing how you can leverage that AI right now?
So, there's been a lot of talk about AI, and we see now like hype again and trying to utilize these LLMs everywhere. So in particular, large language models in medical field, in actual medicine, can take place chatbots, summarizers, and stuff like that. So if the thing is not critical, you can offload your work to it. But if you need to actually rely on the information, you cannot trust it currently. So I don't know if we in a year or 5 years, we will have some better solution. But I'm afraid that this AI hallucinations are inherent to these kind of models. So until we get some different models, unfortunately, for example, LLMs, will be like chatbots and stuff like that. So, you know, I tried to test it many times, you know, my colleagues. So whenever you really need an info, it's better you open, you know, Campbell book and see for yourself than to, you know, like just ask some of those.
No, I mean, I'm hearing the same thing. Like people are comfortable with kind of back office, you know, automation of how many, unfortunately, how many clicks and buttons you guys have to push as doctors entering data and being a data clerk. I heard that mentioned in a panel. You know, you've got these highly trained specialists, surgeons, doctors, incredibly, you know, folks. You're making them, in essence, a data clerk, entering in this data, which attributes to all the, you know, the keeping the docs happy and, you know, recommending the profession so that, you know, to the future generations, which is not happening, and the burnout. So that, I think, is awesome that that's evolving and being put into place. But it's interesting to hear your view of it's going to take a while before you trust it clinically.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, these summarizers are awesome because... a great deal of burnout is actually caused by that stuff that is not really medical. Yeah. And you're like, you need to do this paperwork, administrative stuff that you're not, you didn't go to school to do that. You went to school to, you know, cure people. Yeah. So this adds a layer of stress that you don't need, and your job is already stressful enough, you know. Yeah. So if you find this, On many meetings, we always talk like on this subject. So what's the essence of digital tools and optimizing clinicians' workflow? Clinicians don't need to earn money from those things. They need to have more time. So whichever solution saves time for a clinician, it will have a buy-in. Mm. So, you know, you will let this person do his or her job and, you know, like... offload that work, you know, paperwork. And stuff like that.
Absolutely. I'm still so fascinated about, you know, you being a surgeon and this operating room of the future. Being at Vive, what are some things you're excited about? Maybe something you've seen or like a big trend that's happening in 2024 that you're excited about?
Yeah. So definitely XR, although many people, you know, wrote off like, oh, VR and XR, it's not going to work. And okay. But for surgery education and like practicing surgery and practicing the skills, it's an awesome tool. Yeah. It will be like, you know, pilots are training, you know, drive planes, you know, you perform 90% of the training on the simulator. And then you go to the real world. And the same will be in surgery. Yeah. So for student education, for surgical education, you already have headsets with a bunch of surgical like procedures that you can train. With the development of haptics, it will be even more realistic. So I'm very excited about that. And of course, the ability to connect, for example, operating rooms. So it doesn't have to be like 1,000 miles away. It's enough that, for example, if I'm performing surgery and I have a problem, I need maybe to call a colleague who is more experienced. Yeah. So he needs to come to the OR to change, to see. But if we have like a headset that is connected, he just sits in his room, put a headset and that's it.
So he can see what you see.
Yeah, I remember when I remember when I passed my specialty exam 100 years ago.
2 years ago?
Yeah. It's a little bit more. Yeah. And I was like putting some intramedullary nail in a thigh bone and couldn't get the profile x-ray right. I just couldn't see. And then I called my colleague, who's my friend, who went home already, and I said, like, please come, come here, I don't see. And he, like, came to the door and said, like, what you're fussing about? Like, it's okay. Like, and he just went. So it's like, you know, I made him, like, come to the OR just to check. So with this technology, you don't have to do that.
Yeah.
Just put, you know, like, VR headset and that's it. I mean, this is just one of the million examples.
Yeah, and I think about like you're only, you know, the ability of you're practicing at a hospital, but what if you could, and you're very specialized and you could, your expertise needs to be spread around to folks in rural environments that might not have access to care like you. So extending that expertise to maybe someone who's not trained, you can advise, is amazing.
Because to learn surgery, you need to assist. You need to look at that operating wound. Mm. And it's very hard for people, if there's like two or three people, they cannot watch this, all of them. So this surgical training is very difficult, very tedious. It takes a long time, you know, because of that, among other things. So you need to get into the OR. You need to get those instruments to assist to look, because it's a, you know, it's like any other manual work. Okay, theoretical knowledge and you watch it. But you, at the end, you need to work on that. So if you have those headsets and that technology, it greatly reduces the time needed for education. Amazing. So, you know, and same with, you know, different surgical rooms that are connected via link. And so,
So integration again.
Integration. Yeah. So definitely.
Amazing. Well, Nemanja Kovačev, Head of Healthcare and Life Sciences for H-Tech Group. Wonderful talking with you, buddy. And great to hear your perspective on kind of what's, you know, the reality and what you're excited about and what is here and now. So I appreciate it. And thank you all for watching. Once again, you've been watching Healthcare on Air by Verizon. To access any of our content, you can go to Spotify, Google, Apple Podcasts. You can find us at healthcareonairbyverizon.com. Thanks so much. Take care.